Welcome back, Pelicans fans. That didn't take long at all, did it? I'm bringing you back on because we have an expert from DukeReport.com and at DukeNBA. This is Zion Olajere. We're going to ask him some questions about Frank Jackson, Quinn Cook, and more. So, guys, let's not waste any time. It's time to call a friend. And now I am very excited to welcome onto the program Zion Olajere. Welcome to the show. How are you, Zion?
Doing well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Now, the listeners are well aware that we just selected Frank Jackson in a bit of a shocking trade. We moved up from our 40th overall selection to 31st, the first selection in the second round. It was Charlotte's selection at the time, and then we traded our 52nd pick for cash considerations. But we are here with Zion of at Duke NBA, and you can follow him on Twitter. His personal handle is ZBOLOJEDE. We're so lucky to have you, and let's get right to it. Talk to us about Frank Jackson.
Frank Jackson, I think the Pelicans definitely got a steal in this one. He's definitely terrific athlete, great explosive first step, great off the ball, really moves well off the ball, can really find windows of the defense. I think he definitely would, if you went back to Duke and had a year or two more of experience, he definitely could have ended up in the lottery of a future draft. But he made the decision to leave, and that's his decision. I respect it, but I think he definitely could fit in with the Pelicans and bring a lot of energy and early contribution to a young team.
Thank you so much. Now, obviously, you didn't predict that he was going to fall this far. He's got such a tremendous potential. But one of the reasons that he did fall so far is the stress reaction in the right foot. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it's an injury he suffered in the middle of the season. I can't speak for him. I wouldn't have waited this far into the draft process to have the surgery, but he did it, and it didn't affect his stock too much. But they say it's not a serious injury, which is questionable because, you know, foot injuries are always serious with NBA players. But I don't think it'll affect him too much. He's definitely played through pain before, so I don't think it'll affect him too much down the road, and I hope so, because Duke definitely has a history of NBA players and injuries. But it's definitely concerning a bit, but I think he'll fight through it, and he'll be okay down the road.
That's good to hear. They've already come out and said that he is not going to be participating in summer leagues in Orlando next month. Now, if I can plug you for a bit, you had a wonderful interview with Andrew Bailey of Bleacher Report NBA. And in it, you ask him a couple of questions about Frank Jackson, and he predicted Frank Jackson should fall sometime in the middle of the first round. Do you think 100% of the reason that he lasted so long was due to the foot?
I think that had something to do with it. Also, Frank really wasn't, I wouldn't say he didn't shine at Duke, but he played a lot of the background at Duke and wasn't, your average lottery talent, especially in this draft. He didn't show it, at least, but, he definitely is lottery talent. I believe so. And the injury, I would say, definitely had something to do with his stock dropping a bit, but I wouldn't say it was the injury too much because, as I said before, he didn't prove that he was a lottery pick all year because he was playing the background. It's not because of his talent. It's just because of the players he's playing with. You saw that three Duke players were selected in front of him because that's just the team they had, and they still had guys like Grayson Allen who didn't leave for the draft, and Emile Jefferson and Matt Jones, who were senior leaders, who got in it. So I wouldn't blame it too much on the foot, just mostly because of his situation at Duke.
Excellent. So talk to us a bit more. You already went in depth a little bit on his game about how well he moves without the ball. You called him a slasher, very explosive. Talk about Andrew Bailey compared him to Chauncey Billups as an NBA-type player. Who would you compare him to?
Well, that's a tough one because this is definitely something it's been hard for me to come up with for Frank. Just because I know we haven't seen what Frank can fully do. I really did. I would say coming in, because I don't want to have a cop out here. I don't want to cop out here, but coming in, I did say Darren Williams, and I know that's a bit much, but in terms of size, ability, and strength, they're about the same weight and the same height. They're both pretty athletic. They both like the mid-range game and know how to use their body to finish in the paint. I'm not saying he really will be like Darren Williams. I don't like that comparison for myself, because it's just Darren Williams was just far more skilled and a better point guard. But if that's someone who I had to say right now, because you definitely put me on the spot here, I would say Darren Williams. But I like the Chauncey Billups comparison. And I feel like Frank is a guy, as a cliche as it sounds, the sky is the limit for him. Because he has so much quality and skills that are valued in the NBA.
Thanks so much for letting me put you on the spot back there. Now let me talk to you a little bit about New Orleans. Obviously, it's kind of a tepid time to be a New Orleans Pelican fan. Our general manager and our head coach are in a state of flux. They didn't really get a strong vote of confidence from the front office. And obviously, we've only got 1 year of DeMarcus Cousins. Anthony Davis is on a short timeline. I think he's got 3 years left on his contract. Now, they're not going to expect too much from Frank Jackson this season. But going forward, they are going to need production out of him rather quickly. How well do you think he fits into this this point center type system that DeMarcus Cousins is going to be running, and how well does he move off the ball?
Oh, like I said before, he's great off the ball. I feel like he would fit nicely off the ball, or even on the ball if you're looking for scoring. Like I said, he could find the windows of the defense off the ball and really find give the ball handler teams to pass it through and for him to find his shot. The only question for him is running an offense right now, and I haven't been shown that much as Duke, most because of the system we ran and the fact that I feel like out of high school he was just known for scoring. Like, that's what he did in high school. He didn't have to really set up his teammates. He's 19, so he has a lot of years to improve and develop that point guard skill. But off the ball, I think he'll be fine, especially starting out playing next to guys like fellow Dookie, Quinn Cook. I think he should be fine in that system.
You mentioned distribution and running an offense as to something he's going to learn. According to Draft Express, he averaged 1.7 assists to 1.4 turnovers. How is he as a passer?
I don't want to say he's not a great passer. Like, he knows how to make the simple plays. He definitely has some qualities of hogging the ball a bit at times, but he'll make the right play when he needs to. He just needs to with the way the NBA is with the point guard dominating all the time. He needs to figure out how to dissect the defense more. Really find out how to set up his teammates more for the open shot, which he really didn't do much at Duke, and he really didn't have to. But it's definitely something he has to develop.
I don't know if you listened to Bill Simmons, but Tate Frazier, his producer, called Frank Jackson a floor slapper. Does that mean anything to you?
Floor slapper, all that means to me is that he's a Dookie. That's he's going to show passion. He's gonna give you 150% effort every play. That's what floor slapping means to me, at least for me. It's just, that's the pride of Duke right there. When you see someone slapping the floor, that's Duke right there.
Awesome. Since we have a Duke expert, talk to us a little bit about Quinn Cook and where you see his future with the Pelicans growing. We just signed him. We had him on a 10-day contract last year. Before that, he was with the Mavericks. Now we've got him locked up for the year. How do you think he grows with the Pelicans?
Oh, Quinn Cook. I love that kid, man, because I've definitely got to talk to him a bit during his NBA D League stint. He's really been working hard. He's really been striving and and wanting to reach the next level, and he finally did it, and we're definitely all proud of him. Quinn Cook, he's gonna grind, and I don't see him diminishing from here. I feel like he's gonna keep growing as a player and as a person. Also, I feel like he as well needs to develop a little bit more as a point guard, because we know he can score the ball, but I think also the sky's the limit for him too. As cliche as it sounds, again, he's just a hard worker. He's willing to learn, and I think he's gonna stick in New Orleans.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to watching him in Orlando Summer Leagues. We're going to have him and Chekti Allen, Axel Toupin, and a couple of other great players like Peter Jokic. And we won't have Frank Jackson there, unfortunately. He'll be rehabbing from that surgery. But while I have you, if I could just ask you, Pelicans fans are interested in the free agency of J.J. Redick. Obviously, he might be a bit out of our price range, especially if we bring back Drew Holiday. But should Drew Holiday walk, J.J. Redick is somebody that I think a lot of Pelicans fans would be excited to add. Can you talk a little bit about him and what you think he might have left?
Oh, J.J. has a lot left. Shooting never dies. That's one thing that's never going to leave J.J. Redick, and that's why he's going to last so much longer in this league than most do. I think he'll bring a lot to the table with J.J. To the Pelicans in terms of leadership, shooting, and even mentoring the young guys, because definitely young. You guys have definitely some young backcourt players with Jordan Crawford, Quinn Cook, and the rest of the guys you mentioned. But yeah, he has experience as well. He's played in so many playoff games with the Clippers. He's a little bit more than of course he's a shooter. We all know that, but he's a little bit more than a shooter. He could do a lot off the dribble too, running off screens and taking the dribble, shooting in mid-range. He's more than just your spot-up three-point shooter. But everyone's going to have their eyes on J.J. Redick if he's on the court. And with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, he's going to take a lot of pressure off them for them to facilitate on their own and score on their own. So I think it'd be a good fit in in New Orleans, excuse me. But it's just about paying him the money, because now I know he's looking for big bucks. So we'll see if they have enough money to bring him in.
Definitely. Last question. Talk to me a bit about Luke Kennard, Harry Giles, Jason Tatum. You guys had three guys in the first round and the first overall pick in the second round. Who do you think turns out as the best player from this draft class?
That's kind of a tough question, because
yeah, you got to pick a favorite.
I do love them all, but the way I see it now, this could change. I see Jason Tatum as running away with this, because he's so skilled offensively. He just like there's no way that he can't be successful on the next level. There's just too much talent there. And he's going to grow defensively. I know people question his defense, as they do with many of the Duke players that enter the league, but he's going to be fine. He brings the athleticism, the length, the skill. But I do say this with a little bit of, I guess, I can't find the word I'm looking for, but Harry Giles is definitely someone you should watch out for, because if he does regain his old former self that he showed in high school, there's no question he's going to be the best player, not only of the two players, but in the draft, because he was without a doubt the number one draft pick if he was healthy, if he didn't have those multiple surgeries. So it's a waiting game. We'll wait and see. But right now, if he held a gun to my head, I'd say Jason Tatum.
Yeah, we definitely wish the best for Harry Giles going to Sacramento. That could be a really scary lineup with Fox and Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein, if they're all healthy. And Jason Tatum obviously probably has the highest ceiling of these guys, but he shouldn't get a lot of playing time his rookie season with Jay Crowder and Jaylen Brown slotted ahead of him on the depth chart. The guy who probably is going to get the most playing time as a rookie is probably Luke Kennard. Would you agree?
Yeah, obviously there's so much time left between training camp, summer league. But that's tough to determine. I guess I'll go with Luke at this point now, depending on the situation with Caldwell Pope. They definitely need some more shooting in Detroit. That's a guaranteed need. So I see him getting a lot of playing time, but I could also see a situation where they don't play him because they feel he's not ready defensively. He's definitely a young guy too, so he's not your average four-year Dookie that is going to come in and can't really grow. He has a lot of growing to do as well, but Jason Tatum, I could see him playing in Boston just for the fact they need that wing scorer. Jaylen Brown and Jay Crowder aren't really your elite scorers. They definitely bring a lot to the table defensively, but we'll see. Also, they have a lot of pending free agents, so time will tell, and the picture will become clearer down the road, but I can go with Luke Kennard for now.
Awesome work, Zion. Again, you guys can follow his site at Duke NBA. You can follow him specifically at Zebo, LOJEDE, and of course, DukeReport.com. He's got a wonderful interview with Andrew Bailey right now. Andrew Bailey of BleacherReport.NBA gives his take on Frank Jackson. Plug yourself for a bit, Zion. Tell us a little bit about what you've got coming forward this summer, what we can look to read.
You'll find me a bit. You'll find me a little bit on DukeReport.com this summer, but as I told you off the air, I'm working with Complex, so you'll see a lot of my work on Complex.com this summer, which I'm very excited about. Definitely an exciting opportunity and an opportunity to build my career. So. Yeah, you'll see me on DukeReport.com a little bit, but not too much because I'm working for Complex.
Zion, we appreciate the information and you taking the time so much. Wish you the best going forward with both Duke Report and Complex. And I hope to be able to look you up in the future if I need to ask you some more questions about Jackson and Quinn Cook.
Definitely willing to give you answers. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much again to Zion. Again, we have a podcast just earlier today, hours ago, from Kevin Barrios from thebirdrights.com. So be sure to check that out. Keep checking back. We're going to have more information for you guys going forward. Again, my name's Preston Else. If you like what you're hearing, subscribe, share, retweet, all that good stuff. We really appreciate all of your help, and we look forward to bringing on more wonderful guests to give you some more expert insights like the one we just gave you. So stay tuned. Don't go too far because we'll be right back soon. Again, thank you guys, and let's go, Pels.